on a Thursday afternoon. It's on the kitten in front of that one to be with you. Earlier in the show, we mentioned that our friends from IPSS Medical Rescue were going to pop in and clarify the position with regard to particularly road accident victims that are now apparently by decree being instructed to make sure that they have proof of medical aid or cash available before they will be transported by private ambulance services to hospitals. And joining me in the studio now is Jannes van Schalkwyk and Paul Herbst from IPSS Medical Rescue. Just to set the record straight, I think a lot of folk were a bit concerned about the report on the news yesterday, because obviously if one is planning to have a procedure, you can get your affairs in order and have medical aid details or whatever to hand. But if you are involved in an accident, you might not easily have that information on your person, and there might not be anyone to contact immediately that can prove that you are either financially able to pay for the transport or that you are indeed covered by a medical policy of some description. So, guys, thanks for joining us, and I'm sure that this is a story that needs to be unpacked because, well, it's your business.
100%. Yeah, so we had quite a few phone calls from concerned followers in the Bluetooth community as well. So, unfortunately, I think the article was a bit poorly written, very vague. It was generally speaking about road accident fund victims. So for those guys that are not covered by any policies, insurance, or don't have any medical insurance with them. So what some of the private ambulance services, smaller ambulance services in the Durban area, their core focus is just responding to accidents with tow trucks. Where majority of the bigger services, their core business is obviously medical calls, inter-hospital transfers, guaranteed medical patients from inter-hospital transfers, things like that, affiliated with majority of the medical aids like we are. So what are these smaller ambulance services are doing? They're responding to accidents and intimidating the patients in a sense of, are you a medical aid? Can you afford the ambulance fee? If you're not, we need a certain amount of money up front. If you can't produce the money or can't sign a guarantee of payment, they're basically just leaving you on the side of the road.
This is not what IPSS is doing, I think.
100% not. No, unfortunately, no. It's not. It will never, ever happen. And it has never happened. If you're committing to a call that's responding to an accident, it's the patient's right to get medical treatment, and it's against the Medical Act and the Department of Health Act that you're withholding treatment for financial gain. So those ambulance services can lose their Department of Health license within KZN. Road Accident Fund, unfortunately, are poor payers. They are a government organization, and ourselves have a large amount of money outstanding from them. However, our patients' health and the treatment for our patients will not depend on an insurer. You know, if we commit to coming to you, we'll get the same treatment as anybody else does on any other medical aid.
So does this mean if you don't have, because from a personal perspective, I don't have a medical aid. I have a very good hospital plan with Liberty, but it's not a medical aid per se. They will cover transportation in the event of an accident, but I do not have a medical aid card that might tell you that. If you go through my personal possessions when I am lying prostrate on the tarmac, you won't find a card like that. What happens in that sort of instance?
Jay, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, so that is quite an issue. If you're unable to speak for yourself and you have, well, basically no proof of insurance on you, and we are unable to contact family members, you know, whether it's an app on your phone where we can check your emergency contacts or get access to your phone, you will most likely be transported through to a government facility. We do try and follow up, get ID numbers, but it's a tedious process following up with all the different insurances to check if you're covered by them. And we can't spend that time on the side of the road with someone where you need to get urgent intervention.
So what would you recommend someone like this idiot in front of you here that has a Liberty medical policy? I'm not decrying it. It's a very good policy. It's in fact excellent. But obviously without a card to say, please pick me up and treat me properly.
I feel there's a couple of different ways to address this. I know some of the medical aid, I'm not going to start mentioning them, they're trying to pull away from issuing medical aid cards. Because I think they save money and it's easier for them.
It's also quite a lot of people use them like a well, you can have my card today and then you tomorrow, and I'll sort of maybe rent it out.
No, look, we go through the wallet to have a look there to see if we find any proof of insurance. people have stickers on their cars. There is, the iPhones has got that swipe where your emergency contacts are on, and we're able to contact a family member to confirm that. So we try, but it's not always possible.
And you say, unfortunately, you'd have to go to a state hospital. Are they that bad?
We're very blessed to have Stanger Hospital. To be honest, their emergency department, probably one of the best ones in KZN.
I've heard that it's pretty good.
They are excellent, yeah.
So all is not lost if you do happen to be transported.
No, all is not lost. But they do lack some equipment or certain interventions, like if you need a neurosurgeon or some specialized care, because of lack of resources, they don't always have that available. So you will get good care to the best of their capabilities. But yeah, the doctors, they are excellent.
It's good to know that, and you have a very good relationship with most of the medical facilities in the area. You know where to go for, well, if someone needs a particular sort of treatment, you would know where the best facility is. But you're not really allowed to decide that, are you?
Yeah, we've had a couple of different talks here. We talked about heart attacks, we have talked about strokes and, you know, those type of things. And with trauma, it's no different. If we have someone that fell off a building and we can quite easily diagnose or suspect or high index of suspicion that there's a cerebral bleed or, you know, bleed on the brain. So you're going to want to go through to a hospital where you know there's a neurosurgeon, not on call, but there's one available or more than one available.
In residence.
Yeah, that's a better word for it. And they have the capacity to manage these type of patients. Yeah. If you go to a different facility, you know, they might have someone that comes through to Mondays to Wednesdays, and it's not going to help you at 12 o'clock at night. So
you're in a difficult position though, because you're kind of almost in a sense at the mercy of what's available at the time and obviously what the patient that you're dealing with can present. And if there is no evidence that they can in fact go to whichever facility you would prefer them to, you would have to go to the state hospital, and that's it. Even if afterwards it proves that they could well have had cover at a private facility, would they then be able to get transferred?
Yeah, that's correct, sir, Dave. So just to add on what Jana said, so when you're in the motor vehicle, we're able to run the license plate of the vehicle. From that, we can ascertain if there's any details, ID number linked to your license plate number. We'll run that through the medical aid portal to see if you're covered by any insurance. Or if there's a number on there, we'll try to get hold of your next of kin. In your wallet, your ID number, we could run that on the medical portal with the hospital to see if you're covered by any insurance. And if there's any indication that you are, then we would most likely take you through to the casualty and try to get hold of your family members to validate. If not, you'll be transferred out of the casualty through to Stanger Hospital. But in a sense, we can't do that. Unfortunately, you will end up at a government facility. As Jana said, Stanger Casualty is remarkable with what they have. The doctors there are very capable, and they run a fantastic learner program there with overseas doctors. So it's a really, really a good program. That's basically it.
Well, thanks for clearing that up, guys. I had a suspicion that was the case because, well, we know how professional you guys are, and I believe that your organization does the majority of the work in the area, because we see you on the roads daily. And salute you, you're doing a great job keeping the community peace in the home, you know, when you know that if there's a problem you can call IPSS. You do a great job. When it comes to things like not motor vehicle accidents but other injuries, accidents at home, someone falls, takes a tumble or whatever, does the same thing apply? I presume it does.
It does, yeah. So, you know, it's the patient's right to choose which facility they go to, and obviously we honor those rights. We do also, as Jana said, inform them, look, we can go to this facility, however, on your current condition or your injury, that facility is not absolutely 100% capable of treating it.
So you can negotiate with family and the patient.
The medical aid clearly states the patient needs to go to the most appropriate facility.
Okay.
So if the hospital of choice isn't the most appropriate, it's our right, or it's in the patient's interest that we voice that opinion.
Can you get into trouble voicing an opinion like that? Because I believe that medical things being what they are, very emotional always. Because if you get it wrong, well, the results of that could be extremely tragic.
It's detrimental. Yeah. Look, we voice it. If they would like to follow it or not follow it, it's their choice.
Okay.
You know, we won't push the factor. But 90% of the patients, you know, we're a very close community bond with the patients, yeah. And they trust our opinion.
And some facilities have got a pretty shocking reputation. I'm not going to mention names, but let me just simply say that our surf reporter's mother was taken off to a hospital because she'd lost the feeling in one of her limbs, her legs, and was diagnosed with a pinched nerve. Meanwhile, she had a blood clot that had literally cut off circulation to that. Net result, 3 days later or 2 days later, when she was properly diagnosed, was too late.
Yeah.
That leg is gone, essentially.
Yeah.
Now, that's just because the facility that she was taken to, I presume, you know, we're all human and humans make errors. But I would imagine that kind of error, once it goes into circulation, is an extremely bad advert for the facility. What recourse does one have? I'm talking just sort of generally. Yeah. If someone has had really poor diagnosis and bad treatment as a result of bad diagnosis, this is a general. I don't want to put you on the spot, but is medical litigation a factor in this country?
100%. And more and more people we're seeing are following that route. The first port of call will be your medical aid. You'll lay a complaint with your medical aid, and they are this very stringent penalties on these things. And I know for a fact we've been involved in quite a few of those where the medical fund and the ombudsman gives you the practitioner a certain time to reply. If not, you actually get penalty per day. So they act on these very very harshly. And I said the medical ombudsman doesn't take lightly to these things. So first protocol would be your medical aid, and then thereafter would be the medical ombudsman.
So one as a patient or a private citizen has a certain amount of recourse to the medic, because one hears of the medical curtain, you know, closing, and you just don't see behind it. So we protect ourselves. But look, we're all human, and we're doing our best at the best of times. And it's good to know that even with the Road Accident Fund having created a sense of insecurity, which is exactly where we stand right now, locally on the highways and byways of the Greater Dolphin Coast region, where IPSS prowl the empty streets at night. Remember that old show? Now you're much too young. Anyway, the bottom line is,